And so, as Kevin noted, sometimes impact investing is charitable and sometimes it's not. And so we're going to spend some time today talking about how you make that determination. How do you know if a particular impact investment is charitable? So for tax-exempt organizations, the stakes here are that whether or not the investment is charitable is going to largely drive the tax treatment of the organization's income from those investment activities. And if those investment activities are a substantial activity of the organization, they can actually drive whether or not the organization is eligible for tax-exempt status. Kevin, do you want to talk about some of the types of impact investments you see in terms of forms of instrument?
Yeah, and I think this is, they touched a little bit on this in the master class, but really the types of instruments that are being developed and are used are sort of as creative, ultimately, as the broader investment community. I think historically, particularly out of the charitable sector, you saw and you see loans being used as an impact investment tool, but that has also morphed into equity, quasi equity, so structures or instruments, guarantees and credit supports. Also, you do see a number of organizations that are using blended capital structures or blended capital approaches in the instrumentation themselves, as well as even going so far as social impact bond instruments, which again take a number of are quite complex and take a number of different investor types and instrument types to create something that ultimately is packaged as an impact investment product. So again, a number of any number of instruments ultimately can be used in the broader impact investment space, and then obviously there ultimately is a question about whether and how those same instruments can be used by charities to advance their charitable purposes. I think the other piece, just in terms of table setting, I wanted to note is that there is a developing focus in the broad impact investing space on impact measurement and metrics and evaluation, and I think this is interesting because I think in the broader charitable space, either from donors or otherwise, metrics and evaluation are common. What's interesting to me is that because you have the blurring, and I think Ruth in the masterclass did a great job of describing the blurring or the coming together of the commercial space and the charitable space around sort of common impact themes and some of the issues that arise, you see that in the measurement and evaluation approaches as well. And I think one good example I'm sharing now comes from the IFC, which has the International Finance Corporation, which is trying to take a leading role in coordinating the development of a common set of metrics and evaluation approaches that prove impact. And I'm not going to read through all of these, but again, what I find interesting is that this did not come from the charitable space, but it would be very easy in each of these bullet points to include something about, so define strategic impact objectives. A charity could easily change that to say define charitable objectives, or you could easily make this applicable and useful for a public charity that in a way to support that if you are making these types of investments or going even further, aggregating capital from third parties to make investments, this type of approach, if it's rooted in your charitable purpose, ultimately, and the outcomes you're seeking through the placement of capital are rooted in your charitable purpose, this type of approach that's been developed for the broader impact investment space is actually quite a useful one, and in many ways matches the language and approach that many charities already use in trying to make sure that their activities broadly and their investments specifically continue to be related to their charitable purpose.